Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Today's focus is openers. This is a section of the game plan that you put together your opening sequence, and I think a lot of us have been influenced by Bill Walsh and Brian Billick in this regard, and they had a great system for planning out the beginning of the game. Now, Bill Walsh would use 20 openers. Typically, I was going to limit that to 10, maybe 12. At times, we might have stretched that to 15. My first use of it was, I think, in 2001, we were playing an opponent who had a definite physical size advantage on us, but we felt if we went at a high pace, especially early in the game, we would be able to take advantage of our conditioning and some of our speed and quickness. And so what we did that particular game is put our first 12 plays on a wristband. We had a right hash, left hash, and our guys would just look to the sideline. We would let them know if we wanted them to stay in sequence. If they got the call to stay in sequence, they would go ahead, line up, and run the play as quickly as they could. And we really weren't changing personnel back at that time with that group. And the result was, with those first 12 plays, I think we scored 3 times. We chose to repeat those again, and by the end of the first quarter, it was 28-0. The other team was gas, and by the end of the day, it was a 56-0 score. Now, that's one advantage for you to go fast early in a game, but I think more than anything, the lesson that Bill Walsh taught was that you can plan the beginning of the game within your office and not in the heat of battle, and think those things through about how you want to start and what looks you want to give to an opposing defense. And essentially, that's what we did in my time, both at the high school and the college level. As I said, much of this takes root from what Bill Walsh did. And if you look at an article he wrote, A Method for Game Planning, some time ago, I think a lot of this still holds true today. So if you go over and we'll look through the main objectives of why you would plan your offense before the game. So number one, you want to establish formations. You want to see what the opponent is going to do early in the game. Typically, we would want to go with formations where we knew some information on that. So we would want to verify that they were going to be in a particular defense against that formation and they were doing some of the same things. But it was also the opportunity to see how they might adjust to some formations that maybe we didn't see on film. Base offense is something we want to establish early in the game, and that was part of Walsh's philosophy. You want to understand how your plays are working against that defense. What did they do essentially over the course of the last week to try to stop your best plays? Number three, it's an opportunity to set up certain things. Maybe you want a run to set up a play action pass. Maybe there's a pass that sets up a screen. Think about those types of plays and what you might want to set up with using that opening sequence. Number four, specials were a part of Walsh's method, and it's an opportunity early in the game maybe to get one of those in there. You practice those all week long. I think some guys believe in using those early. I think some of it works on position of the field, but certainly that's something that's made its way into my opening script over time. Establishing sequence is another thing, and you can think about how you might want a set of plays to work. So you might, from a particular formation, have a play that hits to the right, a play that hits to the left, and then a play action off of one of those looks. And again, it doesn't matter what that sequence is, but you're thinking about how you want your plays to work together. From a situational standpoint, then, what happens is you will have the opportunity to break script. So it's not something that you're going to stick with regardless of what the situation is. Now, you may look at the play on the script and say, okay, this one works for, let's say we're in 3rd and 6, it works for 3rd and 6, we'll stick with it. But if you feel that it's not a good play for that situation, you break the script and go to the next play. And one of the methods we used in our time at Baldwin-Wallace University was we would put wristbands on our players for the opening sequence. We typically ran all of our plays off of wristbands, but we would give them a separate one for openers. And so early in the week, we'd start to look at those types of things, what were our best openers. Then what we would do on Wednesdays after practice is we'd come into the coach's office on the whiteboard. Everybody would put down their top 5 to 10 plays. We didn't necessarily ever say everybody had to have 10 plays down, but they put down their top plays, and then from there, we would construct our opening script. This is an idea I got from Ian Shoemaker, who used to be the offensive coordinator at BW before me, and is now the head coach at Central Washington, and they're doing a great job over there, nationally ranked. Offense is doing a great job, and he's just a great offensive mind, and I think that's something that we felt really strongly about. Was a great idea that it gave the staff a lot of input into what was going to happen on game day in that opening sequence. From there then, if we got those on the Wednesday, we put that together. So Thursday at some point, usually it would be after we did our last team period of the day, we would go through those openers with the offense. And a lot of times we might do that on air. We wanted them to understand the sequence we were going to use. And so we would give them the wristband for that day. We would go through it, run those out on the field, and our wristband always had a right hash and a left hash for that. Default for the middle would be a left hash play, and really we left that on the quarterback to make sure he was calling the hash out every play, and the players would look to their first look to the sideline, make sure we were in openers still, and then go ahead and look at their wristband. So we had a procedure for that. Again, pretty simple. We would have something to indicate we were in our openers as far as what our procedures were. Then, again, it was just the default to the wristband to see what we were doing. And again, we could break the sequence. We might go back and repeat something. So maybe we got through 1 through 5, and we would signal in that we want them back to 1, and then they would start the sequence at 1. So we had some ways we could get to those, but the main idea was we wanted to operate fast, especially early in the game. We wanted to get the defense set and take a look at different things. So what I'll do in our show notes is I have 2 videos I put together that show examples of our openers. One shows 2 separate series, and in the second series, we actually chose to go right back to what we did in the first. The next one basically shows our first 10 plays, and I think we had to break sequence on the last one where we ended up on the goal line, and we just went into our goal line package there. So whether it's utilizing different formations, different motions, different play sets, different personnel groups, all of those were planned into openers, and we would operate as fast as we could. As we started to get into using technology like Huddle, we would start to put together a series of clips that showed our opening sequence. So not only would our players get those Thursday at the end of practice, usually we would get some notification before practice that they had a playlist available. And the playlist was essentially me doing a voiceover explaining what we're trying to accomplish in that first series of openers. So now our players are getting it on the field. They have a playlist, a video list put together, not just the video list, but a voiceover of that explains what we're thinking and why. And then they'll get that again on Friday as we go through a mock game. The last thing would be we had the opportunity to split up and go offense and defense. And within that period, we would then go through our openers again. Usually we'd try to start it maybe on the opposite hash. We would work through procedures, and we were sure that when we were working procedures, that we would always at some point try to break the script. And I would let the signalers on the sideline do that, whether that was the coach or the players, and go to a different section of our script where we might be in a third down, for example, or in a short yarded situation. And the idea, again, is that those plays guide us through. We're not dead set on having to run them. We want to stay as close as possible to that because it's something that in the course of our planning in the week, we felt strongly about those plays and felt strongly that we wanted to establish our game plan on a certain set of personnel, play set, formations, etc. So really the first part is about figuring out is what you plan for all week long, what you're seeing. I think that's the first thing. You want to confirm that they didn't make any crazy changes on you. And it happens at every level, probably a little bit more at the high school level, but that you're not getting some type of junk defense to your formations. The second thing that we will look at then is how would they adjust to the personnel? Were they subbing in different personnel groups with ours? And that was kind of important to know as we might get into some things personnel-wise that could take advantage of a base defense. And again, that probably applied a little bit more at the college level than the high school level, where we did see a lot of changing with personnel. And then the last thing I wanted to be sure to have in there, again, it could be some type of special. From time to time, we would put those in, usually about later in the sequence, maybe play 7, maybe play 10. But the other thing, too, was some type of play action shot down the field. We wanted to script one of those in. We certainly wanted to try to get a chunk of yardage, and we felt that early in the game would be a good time to do that. Now, I usually wouldn't do some of those things on the first play. I would look at how can we get our quarterback into rhythm. So a lot of times those first plays are things also that he felt comfortable with. And that was something always that I'd go over with the quarterbacks and talk about the openers and what we were thinking. And sometimes they might help us override one of those decisions. So while we might feel comfortable with something, it's not something he wanted to throw early in the game, and we would sub out another concept maybe that he felt better about, as long as it coincided with our thoughts on how it might attack the defense. But I think having player input into that is important, especially when it's your quarterback. He needs to feel comfortable. You want to get him into a rhythm. You want to get him confident early with some throws that he feels good about, maybe our higher percentage throws. And then as you go through that script again, around 7, 8, 9, maybe the last play in that opening sequence, you look at taking a shot down the field and getting a big chunk of yardage. And we had a lot of success scoring off of those opening drive sequences, and I felt it was because they're pretty well thought out in terms of all those different things that Walsh mentioned. So whether it's sequencing your plays, establishing formations, using your base plays, we were kind of then disciplined to sticking to that and understanding what we wanted to see early. I would suggest also that when you look at your opening scripts, the buy-in from your coaching staff is important as well. Going back to what Coach Shoemaker did, I think having all of our coaches put on the board what they feel confident in shed some light on what they felt by position. So it'd be interesting to see sometimes maybe we would get from our running backs coach a certain set of plays that maybe wasn't the exact same thing as our O-line coach was talking about, and we might talk through those. So maybe the running backs saw some things better in, let's say, a wide zone concept than they might have a tight zone concept. And so we would, again, use that information to make the decisions. Nobody's wrong or right in this case. It's all a matter of getting the information, discussing it as a staff, and then making those decisions that put your team in the place where they can be successful on game day. If you go to our show notes on this, I will have two opening sequences which we use. Again, one of them was one where we actually went back. You'll see the same sequence twice. In the second time around, we had to break it a little bit. And then the other one shows our first 11 plays in which we scored some and, you know, just kept going on that sequence as well. I will say what we would do with those wristbands then, when we determined, okay, we're out of openers, we would get the wristband back from those guys, put them in a bag, because we might come out in the second half and use the openers again. But one way or the other, I felt that planning those things out, having those set, really allowed yourself as a play caller to know what you wanted to do early, and then you could develop other things off of that as you went off of your openers and into other parts of the game. You know what you have established or what you're going to see, and that can help you formulate what you're going to do from there on. Hope this was useful to you. Stay tuned throughout the rest of the season. We're going to be putting these podcasts out that are going to help you with some ideas to keep you going throughout the season. Once the season ends, for some of you, we'll also have some things in there that help you tie up what you've done and start looking ahead to next season. One last thing. We made an exciting announcement this week about PJ Fleck being a keynote speaker at our national conference. Take a look at our lineup and register at usafootball.com/NC19podcast. To see the videos that I mentioned of our two opening series, go to blogs.usafootball.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.